This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Well, Well, Well. Sex, health, and well-being in our LGBTI communities.
Presented by Joy's sponsor, Thorn Harbour Health.
You're listening to Well, 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 presented each and every week by Thorn Harbour Health. I'm Tex McKenzie, and joining me tonight as a co-host, my co-host, and on the panel is my colleague, Michael Whelan. G'day, Michael. Great to be back in the studio with you again.
I don't feel like I do shows with anyone else at the moment. We keep getting rotated in together.
We do.
And I'm all the better for it. Now, of course, if you have listened to the show before, you'd have heard us and the team delving into the various issues surrounding HIV, including exploring what it means to be living with HIV today.
Now, this week, we're going to be chatting about events happening during the 2020 Midsummer Festival, which starts on Sunday, the 19th. Well, actually, probably I think there is one event that starts on the day before the 18th, but maybe we'll find out about that with our guest. And our guest tonight is from the Midsummer Festival, the programming manager, Patrick Hayes. So we're going to find out about what is happening over the length and the breadth of the three-week Midsummer Festival.
Joining us to chat about all things Midsummer, and welcome to Patrick to Well, Well, Well. How are you going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for joining us here on the program.
No worries at all.
Now, Patrick, to start with, could you please share with us and the listener how long you've been involved with the festival?
There's kind of like two answers. I actually have interned for Midsummer a few years ago, where I helped with the programming department about two years ago. But I've only just been in this role for about 2 months, basically, starting from November last year.
Okay. And where did you work before you joined Midsummer?
I worked at Melbourne Fringe for 2 years. Oh. So I did the 2019 and 2018 festival for them. And before that, I was a Brisbane boy. So I worked at Brisbane Powerhouse, the Australian Performing Arts Market, and then, yeah, shuffled down to Melbourne to take all those jobs.
And for those unfamiliar, can you tell us a little bit about Midsummer generally? What's it all about? Who's it for?
Yeah, so, Midsummer is the premier queer and arts and culture event of Australia. So, Midsummer's been around for about 33 years, has had a lot of different versions in history, and there's a lot more people around Melbourne who could probably tell you all about that more than I can. I'm still learning it gradually day by day on the job. But ultimately, it's just the premier queer arts and culture festival of Australia. And we bring together just the diverse mix that is kind of the wonderful assortment of all of the queer communities under that big LGBTIQA+ umbrella, basically.
And what about the focus for the festival this year? Is there a running theme, or, is there a slant more towards the visual arts or performance, or... like you said, is it a bit of a mixed bag?
Yeah, we'll probably all talk about it a little bit later, but we do have a program that is called Queer Unsettled, which is a focus on First Nations and Pacifica artists. But in saying that, visual art still plays quite a strong part of that program. And I think one thing I've really noticed coming from other festivals and coming to Midsummer is that there is a lot of celebration around visual art in Midsummer, and I think that's just because it has such a connection to our culture and history. And that's something that I think is just celebrated throughout. There are a lot more I think as the festival grows, there is diversity in communities as much as there is diversity in genres as well. So a bunch of things to see that are outside of visual arts, but there's still a pretty strong program there.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 with Michael and Tex, and today we're looking at the 2020 Midsummer Festival with Patrick. Now, Patrick, I imagine that as programming manager, you have your fingers across the pulse of all things Midsummer, but what exactly does your job involve?
Well, as much as I'd like to say I'm on the pulse of everything, it's still pretty 2 months in, so I'm still vaguely walking into meetings, having no idea what's going on as of yet. But basically the program manager, what it is now compared to what it's been in the past is, there's the program that's called the Midsummer Presents program, which handles, some of the highlighted, events, and also those programs similar to Queer Unsettled this year, what body was last year's festival. And primarily I'm trying to organize partnerships and work with venues to kind of make sure there are communities that are represented that aren't always highlighted within the queer community. So body in 2019 was about intersex transgender bodies, and Queer Unsettled is Pacifica and First Nations artists, which don't often get the representation in those mainstream areas. Outside of that, I just support the open access program. So as many people might know, Midsummer's, you're allowed to register from all sorts of life. If you have a venue, if you have an event, register and go for your life. So I also support that part of the team and the festival and just make sure, you know, we run information sessions and just chat them through the process and work with the ticketing and presenting services, like producer who helps run those events as well.
And you said that Midsummer Presents is some of those sort of highlights of the festival season. If you were a newcomer, say, what would some of those highlights for you be? What would sort of the mainstay events be that you might sort of gravitate towards?
Oh, like I said, we have a record number of about 190 or over that number actually now. So it's hard to pick a handful out of those points. But I think some of the major ones, and that's going through not just my program, but also the open access program, is stuff like we have Rainbow Effect, which is Rainbow Chan happening at the Immigration Museum. Nocturnal is running an event, Lunar New Year Disco, which I think is going to be a smasher of a towards the end of the festival. So free Friday night and want to see the museum late at night, which I just always want to do, less people around the exhibitions as well, but also amazing artists. Art Centre Melbourne has the rise and fall of St. George. I think it's just like a beautiful history kind of like message, but this new work as well, like a combination of contemporary and history in all in one. If you want something a bit more experimental or like the part of the experimentally fringe history that I have, Popo Moko is doing Summer of the 17th Doll, or their version of it, at Hares and Hyenas. So that will be a great time. And if you just want like a cool dance party experiment arts experience, there's like, and you're not into like the more clubbing scene, Deep Soulful Sweats are running like a week-long engagement where they're doing dance parties every night where you can go and kind of engage with a bit less of an intense vibe.
For lots of people, the opening and closing events are traditionally seen as Carnival being the opening and Pride March being the ending. So what you've just gone through, that entire list of events, they're sort of the fillings in the Midsummer sandwich?
That's basically it, yeah. It is important to note this year, though, that Pride March is not one of the capstone events. It's actually another week after Pride March. So Pride March is on the 2nd of February and Midsummer officially closes on the 9th. So though there's like I said, there's 190 events, and I think the majority of them are still in that first 2 week bracket that we know. But there's also a bunch that are out, like we have a convent hub that is kind of running and a lot of events are happening there on those last 4 days of the festival. And we're ending with like Kira Peru at the Heidi Museum, which is something that we've never done before. So it's a new event out in the Manningham Way, which is great.
We were talking about some of the events happening this year. What else can we chat about events-wise? You know, anything new for 2020? You mentioned that the theme sort of has shifted to represent Indigenous and Pacific artists. Is there anything sort of amazingly spectacular happening in that space? Or
like, as mentioned, I kind of gone through a couple of those events. Like the Lunar New Year Disco is part of that. Mm-hmm. Kira Peru at Heidi has been one of the top sellers, so I think that's definitely an event to get to if you can get to Manningham and want to go to Heidi and see it at an outdoor concert. But there's like a bunch of other ones, including visual art, A Sight for Sore Eyes, Dark Sepia. One of my favorite works in that specific is The Sky After Rain, which is about basically the artists are anonymous because it's just unsafe for them to identify as part of the community, and it's kind of a response to that experience. So it's a really beautiful thing that's out in Manningham as well. But some other ones to keep an eye out for is we're doing a program this year called Power, which is at Chapel Off Chapel as part of a Stonington program. And basically, it's a music weekend where we're focusing on the non-binary and women in music, which often don't get the same kind of platform as well. We have Imbi and Handsome. They're each doing one night. Yeah, that's sure to be like a great event out that way as well.
Amazing.
I've got a controversial question. Now, there are some people out there who suggest that festivals like Midsummer, like the Midsummer Festival and Chill Out, which of course happens in Daylesford, Mardi Gras, which is coming up, have sold out to big business, making the festivals less people-focused, if you like. What's your opinion on these sort of ideas that people who would put forward those ideas?
I think it's always a difficult one in most festival contexts as well. Like, in most recent years, a lot of arts funding has been cut and a lot of cultural funding as well, which means that a lot of these festivals and organisations are having a lot more difficult times generating that income and often have to turn to corporate partners as well. I think a lot of festivals still try to engage with ones that make sense. Like, you'll hear Synergy a lot when you're talking in the meetings about which partners work and which ones don't. I think definitely in the past, there was a lot of corporate organisations that were jumping on for the yes vote. I think there was a lot of organisations that just were suddenly standing on a box going, no, we support queer rights and that's great. Yep. Please come give us money. And I think after that yes vote was successful, you kind of could start seeing the organisations that still believe in supporting those cultural events. So Midsummer specifically, we try to engage partners that do have like a pride sector or pride community in part of their organization, and that's why they're funding Midsummer. But yeah, it's always a tricky one, but I don't necessarily think those events are sellouts as of yet. I think once it's $200 to attend absolutely, and that's the only way you can attend, that's when they've tipped the balance properly. Right.
This is Well here on Joy 94.9 with Michael and Tex, and today we're looking at the 2020 Midsummer Festival with Patrick. Patrick, I understand Pride March this year is celebrating its 25th anniversary, which is very exciting. I know it's starting a little bit earlier this year. Is that reflective of what we've been experiencing with, the weather in the last couple of years, or is that to allow better travel time, or...?
It's like, ultimately, the short answer is it's the weather. We've had about 40-plus days, I think, on the last two Pride Marches, which is a very intense bad run of luck. So we are bringing a bit earlier because in Melbourne, as I said, it kind of gets hotter towards the afternoon rather than the middle of the day, which as a Brisbane person, I still don't quite understand, but whatever happens. But we're also kind of leaning in towards kind of that after Pride March celebration as well. And we're aiming for a bit more of a chill vibes by the beach in the afternoon. Like, you can go to the bar, get a drink, or just chill out on the lawn. We actually have two wonderful indie Melbourne bands coming along. We have Porpoise Spit and Laura Imbruglia and her band coming along.
Amazing.
So it's going to be a lovely femme power rock all combination in different ways. So yeah, hopefully just a nice vibe to encourage people to hang around and bring that community vibe again. Yeah.
When we march past the building site, which is still a building site, but will soon be the new Pride Centre, should we expect any surprises, or should we just wait and see what happens?
There's not going to be a surprise unveiling. Just kidding, it's finished. It's already.
I mean, if it is, it will be a surprise to me. But I think surprises, as always, with Pride March, they always happen. But I think we are also having a live broadcast. So that'll be an exciting little, I think, a marquee out the front. And they'll be, like, reporting on the march going past. And, it'd be a great time to wave out to Joy.
That'd be grudge.
Now, how can people find out what's happening across the festival this year? You said there's, like, 190 events going on. There's a lot to keep track of. What's the best way to keep in touch and figure out exactly what's going on, what days?
Well, we do have like physical programs out there for those that need them. And there's also the website, which is just midsummer.org.au, with an amazing search function through it. You can kind of search through venue, location. If you want free events, you can just search for free events, different kind of content tags. It's all there. You can also just find us on Facebook and Instagram, like Midsummer Festival, and we'll pop up and you can get those social ads that you probably want to avoid, but check them out.
And there is something really important which we have to mention, is that Midsummer ends with an A, not an ER.
Yes, that is always a good one.
So MIDSUMMA. And Patrick, in the printed guide and the online guide, I noticed a collection of Midsummer hubs. Now, you've also mentioned the word hub once earlier in this interview. So my question is, what's a hub in the Midsummer sense of the word?
Well, hub, I guess, like, I use it as a collection of events, which is basically what it is for Midsummer as well. But the Midsummer Festival hub specifically are hubs that are like venues that are running six or more events for Midsummer specifically. It's also venues that have kind of reached out to Midsummer, or we've reached out to them noticing how many events they've got, to kind of have that discussion. Most festivals do have like a festival hub, which Midsummer doesn't run one ourselves. So it's kind of good to highlight all these different venues where you can see a few shows in a night or engage with some audience. So it really helps bring the performers and patrons together and hopefully just ensuring a good time. And I think having about 5 or 6 is actually a really great thing for Midsummer, because it just means whatever side of town you're on, there's a way to engage with it, which is great.
Now, speaking of sides of town, on the correct side of town, is the Melba Spiegel tent in Collingwood, which is has a particular focus this year. What is that focus and what does that involve?
The Melba have absolutely smashed it out of the park with their family programming this year, the Rainbow Family specifically. So you can catch like a bunch of these acts as well on Carnival. We have the family precinct and they're doing little sample snippets that you can kind of drop in. Some of my favourites are going to be there. Tessa Waters doing How to Be a Rock Star. The Brass Monkeys will be doing their usual shenanigans. A bunch of just family-inclusive events. Some of them are free as well. You can just kind of come along. Look at the website for those details. Sarah Ward is doing a specifically interesting event, which is called Over 60 and Under 10, where community members are writing their own like songs with their stories, and then Sarah and her band will be performing those live. So it's like that'll be a great one to see as well. Though I will mention that it's only happening in the first week, so if you are going to get along, it's in that first 19th to the 25th.
Yeah,
I think
so. Yep. Grab that guide and figure out what things are running for the full festival, what's only a one night gig, and prioritize accordingly.
Exactly. Exactly.
And look, the guide's really good because you can go through the central part where it all unfolds, and all the bits are there to tell you what's happening when, which is brilliant. Now, I want to ask you about the western suburbs. You mentioned hubs and you said all across town there are different hubs. Now, the western suburbs of Melbourne have increasingly been embraced by Midsummer. And I guess vice versa, they're accepted Midsummer and Midsummer's accepted them. Who's involved and what's happening out west this year?
Well, Westside is that accumulation of a bunch of different city councils which are kind of coming together to help create. So there's 16 events in total at the moment. The events around the Westside are things like drag, which is a visual art experience where the drag queens will be opening in the night with performance and live experience as well. We have some of the standard kind of favourites, Rainbow Family Story Time, if you miss out on that vital time at the Melba. West Gay is starting it off on the 18th, so just before Carnival as well. And then it runs all the way through to the 9th, but I think also like Park Lounge is that amazing event where it's a lot of music, open air, always quite well attended. It's just like Westside really always deliver well for Midsummer.
This is Well on Joy 94.9 with Michael and Tex. And today we're, of course, looking at the 2020 Midsummer Festival. Now, Patrick, what can you share with us and our listener about the Midsummer Extravaganza? What is it? When is it? And who is involved?
So it's one of the, well, I'd probably say keystone events of the program. It's one of the ones that everyone kind of asks for and top seller as well. Arts Centre Melbourne, GEM. Basically, it's kind of a mix and match of some of those amazing celebrity that we get in Midsummer. So this year specifically, it's being hosted by Bob Down and Christy Webeck. And the lineups, it goes from Yana Alana, Cassie Workman, Rachel Dunman, Nath Valvo, Tom Ballard, Jack Vidgen, Pagina Heels, Dolly Diamond, Mel Buddle. Like, it's honestly just star-spangled.
Cavalcade of stars.
Yeah.
I'm there just for Pagina Heels. That's all I need in my life.
I also believe there's a wonderful DJ event afterwards as well. You like, hang around, red carpet kind of style. It's going to be very extra of an extravaganza.
Now, I guess everyone should grab a printed copy or look over the online version of this year's guide. When they do, how difficult or perhaps how easy is it to navigate bookings for all the different events?
Well, as said, on the website, you can kind of search through so many different functions. I'm still kind of finding and being shocked at how easy it can be to find things. Even just looking through, if you're in a community event or you're in a place where you have a lot of group that don't have a lot of money, you can search just by free events. But you can search by venue, cost, the date. If you only know you're available for one weekend, you can see what's on that weekend. But if you also want to book tickets over the phone or in person, over the phone, Jason's on the line on the end at the Midsummer office and basically can take. You can find our number on our website. And also we'll be selling tickets at Carnival near the info tent. So, yeah, if you get lost, ask one of our volunteers and they'll point you into Jason's direction.
Now, I think we should mention that Carnival is this coming Sunday, the 19th of January. Starts at 11, finishes about 5, and then is that when tea dance kicks off?
Yeah, so the stage kind of wraps, the main stage wraps up around 5, 5:30, and then there's a bit of a 20-minute break, and then kick off at 6 o'clock for tea dance until late.
And when you say a little break, everyone will still be there. There will still be over 100,000 people in that park.
Absolutely.
Getting ready to get pumped for tea dance.
Yep. It's kind of in that little point. The stage comes down. We start plugging in all the DJ equipment and all the stuff to get the party going for the end. And people who've probably been enjoying themselves for most of the day stand up for the first time and just notice how well they've enjoyed
get a bit of a head rush and maybe sit back down again.
Exactly. And then enjoy the rest of it with our wonderful headliner, Bonoffi, coming on, which is great to have on board.
Well, Patrick, thank you so much for being so available to chat with us this evening on Well, Well, Well. Best wishes and less stress and good times coming ahead with Midsummer Festival coming up very soon. Thanks for joining us on the program.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
Cheers. And Michael, as usual, Thorn Harbour Health, having been part of the Midsummer Festival from the very beginning of when the festival started 33 years ago, we're very involved again this year with a variety of events.
Indeed we do. At Carnival on Saturday. On Sunday, the 19th of January, we have the biggest tent and we're in the stalls area of Alexandra Gardens. You cannot swing a cat and without missing us. You'll be able to locate us under the big palm trees on the palm lawn where all the stalls will be located.
And look, in addition to the information about Thorn Harbour Health, the annual Gay Community Periodic Survey is going to be located in that huge, biggest tent on the carnival site, the huge Thorn Harbour Health tent. Survey staff will be mingling with the crowds, asking men to complete the survey.
Indeed they will. I believe you have something to do with the survey, is that
indeed
correct?
I coordinate the survey, Michael, and I have for about the last 10 years. So I know that we have a whole host of staff who will be wandering around, around the stalls area, but also the sporting precinct. So the Alexandra Gardens are large gardens, and when people come down from St Kilda Road, the first thing they hit is the sporting precinct, and there's the kids' zone, and there's lots of food vans, and then there's the skate park in the middle of the gardens, and on the other side is where all the stalls are. So it's worthwhile exploring and following all the paths through the bushes and along the parkways to find out what's happening where. But the Melbourne Gay Community Periodic Survey has been happening for the last 21 years, so that we can look at the trends that have been happening over time. So there'll be all sorts of questions people are asked. There's quite a lot of questions, but not everyone has to answer all of the questions. For example, people who are HIV positive, there are extra questions for positive people, but negative people don't need to answer those questions, so it cuts down the amount of time. It takes about 6 to 8 minutes to complete the survey in total.
And when you're spending a couple hours lounging around, I mean, some of you've got plenty of time to kill. It's a nice, chill, relaxing day.
Oh, look, it is.
You've got 6 or 8 minutes to spare.
What's really gratifying are the number of men who come up and lodge their survey form in, and then they get to fill in a free raffle ticket for a prize draw. They get to pick up a Chupa Chup lollipop. But so many of them say, this is part of my midsummer experience. Mm-hmm. I always do the survey. Then I can go off, I can get messy, I can have a drink, I can have something to eat, I can wander through the stalls, have our picnic, whatever. But survey is their number one. And it's really nice to have people saying that.
Yep. Since my first carnival when I was, I think, 17, it was my my ritual from then on every year, doing the survey as well. Now, in addition to the men's survey, we've also got another survey, because the Melbourne Gay Community Periodic Survey is just for men. So if you are male identified, that is the survey for you. But we'll be doing our second iteration of the women's survey this year as well, correct, Tex?
Indeed. And this is a survey for LGBTIQ women. And yes, it is the second annual survey. And this survey helps to determine what's going to be appropriate for LGBTIQ women here in Victoria, not just in Melbourne, but for women across the state. So it's a really handy way of finding out what are the services that women are looking for and what sort of services work for women in Victoria. And of course, some of this work is laid out through our Bendigo office, the Mallee-Loddon area, but it also goes to all different parts of the state. So to Mildura, to Portland, to Gippsland, where the dreadful fires have been happening recently, there's all different sorts of ways that the information is actually spread around the state and provides great resources for women. And the Gay Community Survey for Men provides services for men and the different activities that men are wanting, all the different sorts of information that's appropriate for men to get.
Indeed. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 with Michael and Tex, and we are, of course, looking at the 2020 Midsummer Festival. Now, this year, we've always got a few little prizes and giveaways and goodies, and as well as all of our amazing, you know, health promotion resources that we can always give away. But this year, you can come and get your photo taken with us, and we've got a little prize, a little gift to give away if you come and get your photo taken with us. Can we divulge what the special prize is this year?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know whether we're allowed to, but we'll say it anyway. We've got some amazing fans.
Yes.
And not just screaming fans coming to weep at us. No, we have little clack fans.
Yep.
And I've already trialed them. They make a good thwarping clack sound. So everyone who is fan obsessed will be very happy. They make a good strong sound.
And they're green, great rainbow colours.
Indeed,
so,
yes.
You know, really good.
Yep. So if you lose people in the crowd, you'll be able to wave your little fan, and there'll be plenty of rainbow action in the air to sort of designate where you are amongst the crowd should you lose your mates on the
Indeed.
Day.
Indeed, and we have another giveaway as well. We have sunscreen in a little pack which attaches to your belt or your purse or your bag. It's got a little hook on it. Can't remember what those hooks are called.
A carabiner.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I wonder why I didn't know. but they're a great hook so that you can hook it on, put the sunscreen on, and then you've got plenty to reapply. Throughout
Indeed.
The day.
Yes, because if you are pale like me, you don't want to get burnt.
Now, directly opposite our main tent will be the Pronto and the Thorn Harbour Health Services tent. And that's where you're going to be able to book a rapid HIV and STI test from mm-hmm. our on-site Pronto rapid testing van. Try saying that quickly. And find out about the different services that Thorn Harbour Health provides in our community, including the services provided in the Bendigo area as well.
Indeed. And you can, if you just want to talk about testing, what your routine is, or if you want to talk about PrEP, you can come and chat with us and we can help figure out what the sort of pathway looks like for you, whether that's testing or PrEP or HIV treatment or whatever. Just come and say hi because we're friendly and we want to say hello to you.
Indeed. And as we found out when we talked with Patrick, to find out more about Carnival Day and all of the festival, have a look at the Midsummer Guide, midsummer.org.au. And remember, Midsummer has an A, not an E-R, M-I-D-S-U-M-M-A. There's a printed guide, as Patrick said, but also look, it's really easy to just jump onto the internet and find midsummer.org.au. And Michael, on January the 26th, that's a Sunday, at the Paran Aquatic Centre, Thorn Harbour Health is again going to be presenting our Queer Pool Party, which again is an LGBTIQ family-friendly event.
Now, this event is free, but you need to book so that we can make sure we're at the right capacity and we don't overstuff ourselves. So go to midsummer.org.au and select book tickets. You can just type in pool party, queer pool party, use the little search function, you'll find it. Great fun event. It'll be there'll be some mildly competitive water sports between Melbourne Surge and Water Polo Victoria. Have a nice friendly grudge match, I guess.
Indeed. And everyone is invited. So you can bring your kids, your besties, lovers and significant others. All genders and sexualities are welcome.
And the keystone event is there will be a free sausage sizzle with vegetarian options available and soft drinks too, because I love a snag by the pool.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. So that's Sunday the 26th of January from 1 till 5. It's an alcohol-free event, but remember it is free, but you do need to book. So go to midsummer.org.au and select book tickets.
And it's always very popular, and I think every year we've held it, it's sold out. So if you're keen, get in nice and quick so you don't miss out. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 with Michael and Tex, and today we're looking at the 2020 Midsummer Festival. Now, another Thorn Harbour Health sponsored event, Tex, is the Company of Men.
Okay, so you've been involved with this for quite a while now.
I have. You can't keep me away from it.
What's it all about?
So the Company of Men is a ballsy exhibition. That's a nice pun there.
Yep.
Ballsy exhibition where men explore men. If you jump in the Midsummer Guide, head to page 54. I think it's the second page of the arts.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of the visual arts page. The event is located inside the basement of Club 80, the iconic Club 80 dungeon. Brandon, which, for anyone unfamiliar, is one of Melbourne's premier sex-on-premises venues. Mm-hmm. For the purposes of this event, the entire dungeon or downstairs area will be a separate entrance, so you don't need to enter the sex-on-premises venue itself in order to access the exhibition. And it'll be open to everyone, but it is much of the art is explicit, so over 18s.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It runs from the 29th of Jan to the 6th of Feb, is that right?
It does indeed. And there's not just the standalone exhibition. So there is a launch and opening night, which is fun. Mm-hmm. There's going to be bubbles and snacks and pretty boys in underwear running around, which will be fun.
Gorgeous.
As well as us from Thorn Harbour Health there to direct you to your favourite piece.
And we won't necessarily be running around in underwear.
We will not be, no.
Oh, great.
The lovely boys from Addicted, the... underwear fetish lifestyle brand will mm-hmm. be there, so they'll be frolicking around in their Sunday least, as I like to call it.
So should we expect to be tantalised, aroused, shocked, delighted, challenged and entertained, you reckon?
All of those things, Tex. So not just the regular exhibition, which of course is fantastic, and there's lots of artwork that you can buy as well.
Oh,
if you've been to Company of Men before, there's a few returning exhibitors. So Pansy Art Ceramics that do queer-focused ceramics will be returning, mm-hmm. as well as sort of new artists. And we'll be running some... other activities as well. So there'll be a BDSM workshop as well. There'll be, if you're into rubber, your rubber and your latex, there'll be a rubber care and repair workshop. So if you're, if you run into people on the dance floor and you nick a bit of your rubber and you get a hole in it, you can learn how to fix it yourself with the lovely Jason Pierce, who is our current reigning Melbourne Rubberman title holder. We're also running a couple of forums. We'll be discussing preventing STIs with... bacterial STIs with antibiotics, so DoxyPrep, and we're going to be unpacking some HIV stigma related issues sort of in the new world of HIV prevention. So what HIV stigma looks like in 2020 with our PrEP and our undetectable viral load and condoms and testing all in the mix together, and how we sort of navigate that in a respectful manner, I guess.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, finally, on Sunday, the 2nd of February, Thorn Harbour Health, as always, will be marching with pride at the 25th Annual Pride March in Fitzroy Street, St Kilda. 25 years. Good Lord.
Indeed.
This year, the march begins at 11 a.m. Yes, that's 11 a.m. Because of there's always been those frequently hot days over there, as Patrick talked about earlier. It starts off from the Ian Johnston Oval in Fitzroy Street. We march along Fitzroy Street and we end up at the Katani Gardens. And as Patrick talked about, there's a couple of bands happening. There'll be a bar, there'll be food. So everyone can chill out through the afternoon. It should be really, really relaxing.
Indeed. Now, Pride March is all about affirming that we are fabulous, we are loved, we are diverse and we are proud. So whether you are marching or just coming along to watch the march, it is a fantastic day for everyone in our diverse communities.
We also march in solidarity for those who can't march for exactly. all sorts of reasons.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us this week on Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. Now, if you have missed any part of this episode, you came in partway through, don't feel bad. If you've missed any previous episode or this one of Well, 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 have no fear. You can catch up by streaming us on the Joy website, joy.org.au, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes. We are also on Spotify now. We are on Stitcher. We are on basically every podcast platform you could imagine. So whatever your preferred way of accessing podcasts is, you can find us. Just type in Well, Well, Well. And you can also leave us a review, which would be fantastic. If you love listening to Well, 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 please leave us a good review. 5 stars would be great. And if you don't like us, don't leave us a review.
We need to thank our guest this week, Patrick Hayes from the Midsummer Festival office. It was great to find out all about the festival. And you can grab a copy of the printed guide from around town or head online to the Midsummer website. Midsummer with an A, MIDSUMMA. .org.au.
You can catch the Well, Well, Well team here on Joy every Thursday at 9 p.m. Until then, take care of yourself and we hope you stay happy and healthy.
Happy midsummer, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.